Read an article this week, 2017, that talks about a cult leader who died at the age of 85. Isa siyang kulto, siya yung leader ng kulto na ito, at siya'y pumanaw nung edad ng 85. He was a very influential person. He was so influential na nakilala po siya sa ginawa niyang ito. So what he does is he invites people to follow him. And for them, yung mga followers niya, for them to express their obedience and their devotion sa leader na ito, they should take someone else's life. Scary. Tragic. Yun po yung ginagawa ng leader na ito. Follow me, take someone's life. Quite the opposite. There's another invitation from another leader. And the invitation is also to follow him. But to show his devotion, yung devotion about is that in following him, he did not ask them to take someone's life, but to give your life as a pleasing sacrifice, a living sacrifice. And that leader, his name is Jesus. At yung po sisilipin natin ngayong hapon na ito. What does it mean to be a follower? A disciple of Jesus Christ? Sino yung mga iniimbitahan ng Panginoon Hesukristo na sundin siya? What's the cost of following Jesus Christ? We are continuing in our sermon series sa Gospel According to Mark. As we've learned from last week, we have seen and learned that Jesus already arrived at Galilee. Naalala nyo, he heard that John the Baptist was already kinuha na ng government or ng king, pinakulong na siya. That was yung signal niya na kailangan niyang pumunta sa Galilee. At pagpunta niya sa Galilee, ang unang-unang ginawa po niya, dumiretso siya sa Nazareth. And we have heard from, last week, that Nazareth is yung hometown ni Jesus Christ. Doon po siya lumaki. And as his custom, umaaten po siya sa sinagoge or sa synagogue, listens to the reading of the scripture, the preaching of the word, and from there he preaches in this synagogue. Hindi ho nagustuhan ng mga tao ang kanyang tinuro at ang ginawa ho sa kanya ay kinaladkad palabas ng sinagoge at minamadali po siyang dalin sa isang bangin at para itulak. Hindi kinaloob ng Panginoon yon, nakatakas po siya at nagpatuloy. Nagpatuloy po siyang mag-preach ng gospel ni Jesus Christ. It didn't stop him. He continued preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God to Galilee and urged them to repent from their sins and put their faith in him alone. To repent and believe the good news that he is proclaiming. Sa binasa kanina ni Cesar, we can learn that to be a disciple of Jesus is to forsake all for the sake of the call. To be a true, genuine follower of Jesus Christ, a person needs to forsake all for the sake of the call. With that, we have three headings sa passage na ito. Number one, the characters, verses 16 and 19. O mga karakter. Mga karakter na kung saan tinawag ng Panginoon. Number two, the call, verses 17 and the first part of verse 20. O ang pagtawag, the call that Jesus extended to these people. And third, the cost. The cost, verse 18 at saka 20, last part ng 20. O ang nakalakip sa pagsunod sa Panginoon Hesukristo. The call, the characters, the call, the cost. Number one. The characters that Jesus calls. Ang mga karakter na tinatawag ng Panginoon. Ano ang mga klaseng taong tinatawag ng Panginoon Hesukristo para sundin siya at sundan siya? Makita po natin sa verse 16. Tingnan niyo po yun sa verse 16. Passing along the Sea of Galilee, hinto muna tayo dyan. Pagkatapos mangaral ni Jesus Christ sa verse 15, now he walks on the shores of Galilee. Now, ang dagat or according sa ibang theologians, lawa o lake ng Galilea ay may haba na 21 kilometers. May lapad po siya ng 12 kilometers at meron po siyang lalim ng 685 feet. Yung tipo ng tubig na nasa Galilea, yung Lake of Galilee, is maligamgam kung tawagin. Parang medyo warm yung water. Kaya dito kung madalas makikita na mapakadaming isda na pumupunta sa lugar na ito. And it's not surprising na ang prominenteng pangkabuhayan dito ay ang pangingisda. Alright? Nagtathrive ang fishing industry sa area na ito. There are roughly 16 ports sa area na ito. Daang-daang mga fishing boats ang makikita mo roon. Napakadaming tao. This is a busy place. At dito, matatagpuan ang Panginoong Hesukristo naglalakad sa shores ng Lake of Galilee. Why? Because verse 16 and 19 tells us. Tingnan niyo ulit ang verse 16. He saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon. I'll stop right there. After na-encounter ni Jesus Christ yung magkapatid na to, lumakad po siya. It's a verse 19. Going a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother. Now, dalawang beses inulit ang salitang saw o nakita. So verse 16, Jesus saw Simon and Andrew. At sa verse 19 naman, Jesus saw James and John. Could it be that the reason why Jesus saw Simon, Andrew, James, and John is because he was intentionally looking for them? Intentionally searching for them. And what did Jesus find them doing? What were they doing? Look at verse 16 again. He saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Look at verse 19. He saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. O inaayos nila yung nets nila. It's either ayos na nasira or ayos na nililigpit. Jesus found them fishing. Now, yung paraan ng pangingisda nila ay hindi katulad po ng ginagawa natin ngayon na ng miming wit. Okay? Na inaabangan mo na nakainin ng isda yung pain at from there makakahuli ka ng isda. Hindi po ganoon. Hindi sila nangingisda ng panlipas oras lamang o paglibangan lamang. They were professional fishermen. Professional fishermen. They were fishermen by trade. Yun ang kanilang propesyon. Ang paraan ng paghuli nila ng isda ay gamit ang isang lambat. Young people, lambat means fishnet. It is an oval or round-like net na kung saan may mga pabigat sa gilid na nakakonekta or weights. Na ang ginagawa ng mga mangingisda na ito is hinahagis nila sa sea. And from there, it will spread out. And yung weights na yan will pull down yung net. And as it goes down to the water, it brings down the fishes. And from there, doon nila dahan-dahan hihilahin. So that's how they fish. They were professional fishermen. Now, kadalasan, naisip natin kapag sinabi ang profesyon na isang tao ay mangingisda, ay mahirap to. Ay mangingisda, kawawa naman ito. Laging galunggong ang ulam nito. Yun po naiisip natin kagad, pero hindi po ito yung kalagayan ng magkapatid. Hindi ito ang kalagayan ni Simon, hindi ito ang kalagayan ni Andrew, hindi ito ang kalagayan ni James at saka ni John. Hindi sila naghihirap. Malaki po ang fishing industry nung time na ito, lalo na sa Galilea. Or Galilee. Ito ang itong mga mama na ito ay nagpapatakbo ng sarili nilang palaisdaan. Just so you know. Meron silang fishing business. Sa Luke chapter 5, yung mga parallel verses books natin dyan, or gospel accounts, si Simon and Andrew, yung magkapatid, ay may sariling bangka. Actually, dalawang bangka, tag-iisa po sila. At yung mga magkapatid na James at John sa Mark 1 verse 19 to 20 ay may mga full-time pang mga tao. Meron silang mga tauhan na tumutulong sa pangingisda. At kung titingnan natin ang Luke chapter 5 verse 10, itong apat na ito ay magkakasosyo. Ang tawag na term na dyan is partners. They were partners. So hindi po sila mahirap at hindi naman po sila todo yaman. Tama lang. They can get by. In short, maganda ang kitaan. Hindi sila nagkukulang. As mentioned, Jesus saw them because He was intentionally searching for them. Jesus come to them. He goes to where they are. Jesus was looking for them and now Jesus found them. He found this hardworking, ordinary men. For those of you who know me, I am a Marvel fan. Okay? Ever since I was a kid. Nung bata pa lang ako, I read the comics, I watch the cartoons. That's why it blew my mind away when they started producing live action movies. Geek. Now, it's the third movie. I don't know if you know this, and if you know this, you can help me out here. So third movie ng Incredible Hulk. Usually, a Marvel po yung nagpauso ng post-credits. Post-credits means after ng movie, may konting credits, tas may lalabas na parang isa pang clip for, parang teaser siya for the next movie. So that was it. There was a post-credit yung Incredible Hulk. Now, sa post-credit na yan, towards that, is bumukas yung scenario. At doon natagpuan yung scene yun na nasa bar. At sa bar na yon doon matatagpuan si General Ross. Si General Ross is yung general na pilit hinuhuli si Incredible Hulk, pero hindi niya mahuli. Okay? So he failed several times. Tapos, and he looks depressed, he was discouraged, and he was drinking away. And from there, from that side, ng door ng bar ay biglang bumukas. And daan-daan, ang focus ng camera, zoom in sa sapatos. And from the zoom out niyan, daan-daan, medyo malabo yung tao eh. And biglang nagsasalita. Kinakausap si General Ross. At from there, hindi namin alam, familiar yung boses, pero hindi nakikita ko, naaninagan ko sino siya. And from the time na sumandal itong mamang ito, katabi ni General Ross, humarap yung camera sa kanya. And to our surprise, it was Tony Stark. Tony Stark pala. And for those of you who do not know Tony Stark, he is Iron Man. Alright? At dahil may alam si Glenn Ross patungkol kay Hulk, at gustong i-recruit ni Iron Man si Incredible Hulk, eto po ang sinabi niya kay General Ross. We are putting up a team. We are putting up a team. And for all we know, yun na po ang start ng pagbuo ng team of super-powered human beings called the Avengers. I could have imagined you going home and you're asking, kids, what did you learn at church? History of Avengers. No, that's not what we're trying to teach, okay? But there's a point to this. There is a point to this. No, okay? And here we see Jesus, who have done something similar. He was putting up a team. He was putting up a gospel ministry team. But he was not putting up a team of men with superpowers or supernatural abilities, nor did he even call to his team, hindi niya inad sa team niya yung mga religious elite sa Jerusalem, gaya ng mga Pharisees and scribes and teachers of the law. Kasi kung meron man na kailangan tanggapin sa team na ito, yung mga dalubhasa sa scriptures, pero hindi yun ang sinama niya. No. Jesus started his ministry team with four ordinary, hardworking, calloused hands, sunburned fishermen. Of course, hindi siya huminto sa mga mamang ito. Hindi siya humindo sa mga mangingisda. Later on, Jesus will come to a rich, corrupt tax collector named Levi. And then he will come to Philip and Bartholomew and Thomas and so on with the 12 disciples. Hindi niya tinawag sa ministry team ang mga spiritual elite, ang mga sikat, at hindi siya tumawag sa sinuman mula sa maharlikang pamilya ni Herodes Antipas. Hindi siya tumawag doon. Instead, he called ordinary, hardworking, simple, weak, broken men to be part of his gospel ministry team. Pagkalipas ng ilang taon, after gathering and training yung mga disciples, here's what Jesus told his disciples. So John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and make fruit. It was Jesus who puts the team together. Why did Jesus choose them? Bakit pinili ng Panginoon sa Kristo itong mga mamang ito? Could it be that God loves using the weak to advance His kingdom? I think 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to 29 talks about that, about God using the weak. Sabi ni Paul dito, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to your worldly standards." He's talking to the Corinthians. "Not many were you powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God," verse 27, "chose what is the foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring nothing things that are." For what reason? And verse 29 gives the reason. "So that no human being might boast in the presence of God." God chooses the weak and the foolish things of the world. The slow, the rejected, the rejects, in order to advance His kingdom and to make Him look glorious. It seems like the Lord has chosen the least likely, the weak, the poor. At kung anuman ang gagawin ng Panginoon sa mga taong ito, He gets the glory. Friends, this is very, very comforting para sa akin. I do not come from a family line na puro pastor. Hindi po ako galing sa line ng mga pastor or scholar or theologian. Hindi po ako galing sa ganong klaseng pamilya. My family is not a Christian. I did not grow up in a Christian school. I do not know Sunday school songs. Yun yung hindi ko kinalakihan. I'm not the top student sa aming seminary. Sa mga senior pastors na nakilala ko dito sa UAE, I'm not even the most eloquent. Yet, this gives me an opportunity to boast on God. Yet, God in His mercy and grace has chosen an ordinary individual na parang ako with ordinary set of skills to be part of His gospel team. If you're here today, and if you're a member in church na ito na Crossroads, and you consider yourself to be ordinary, and you're saying, "Nako, hindi muna ako maglilingkod sa Panginoon kasi hindi ako okay." If you consider yourself ordinary, then God wants to use you. Are you already part of the gospel ministry team ni Jesus Christ dito sa church na ito? Are you involving yourself in discipleship relationships? Are you coming to church and intentionally looking for someone to serve? Have you considered being part of a formal ministry like yung music team, set up children's ministry, the shuttle ministry, the ushering ministry, and so forth and so on? Are you looking for a way or opportunity to share the gospel sa inyong mga colleagues sa trabaho? Are you lovingly calling out sin sa buhay ng mga kapatiran natin? Are you fighting sin in your life? If not, mga kapatid, then whose team are you part of? Kung hindi mo ginagawa ito. Pero pastor, ganito eh. Ganito lang yung trabaho ko eh. Alam mo yun, kaya naiilang ako eh. Sino ba ako para pakinggan ng ibang tao? Ito pastor, kasi ayokong magano, kasi hindi naman ako ganong karunong. Hindi naman, ganito lang yung natapos ko sa edukasyon. Hindi ako magaling magsalita. Hindi kasi pastor, hindi mo alam ang nakaraang ko. Marami akong nagawang pagkakamali, pastor. Mukhang nandito na lang ako. Tsaka na po pag okay na po. Tsaka na po. If you say that, tsaka na pag okay na, here's what you're saying. Tsaka na pag perfect na ako bago ako maglingkod. And the Bible says if you wait for perfect moments, it will never happen. It will never happen. Listen, the characters that Jesus chooses and uses were ordinary, broken, weak, and even the foolish people of the world. So that, here's the reason why, so that God might get the glory sa buhay nila. If you think that you are the slow, the weak, the Christian who is always struggling, the Christian who is always shy, the Christian who is always trying to figure out kung paano maglilingkod, since wala ka maisip, hindi na ka maglilingkod, and God wants to use you. Kasi whose team are you if you're not serving the Lord? You only serve two persons in this world. One, you serve God, or you serve the devil. Number two, there's the call. There's the call. O ang tawag. The call that Jesus extended sa mga taong ito, sa mga ordinaryong tao na ito. Tingnan nyo sa verse 17. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Jump to verse 20 in first part. And immediately he called them, which is si James and John. Now it seems here na parang random lang na naglalakad si Jesus Christ sa shores ng Galilee. Nakita niya yung dalawang magkapatid na manging isda at lumapit siya at sinabing, sama ka sa akin, sundan mo ako. Parang yun lang ang dating eh, no? Parang yun lang ang dating. Kasi kung gano'n ang dating, that would be awkward. That would be weird. Pero hindi po yun yung backstory. No, you know there's a backstory. There's parallel passages in Luke and Matthew and John. Kasi po hindi ito ang first time na nakita at nakilala ni Jesus Christ yung mga mangingisda na ito. This is not the first time. Okay? It was almost a year back nang makilala ni Jesus sa mga magkakapatid na ito. And we can see that sa John chapter 1, verses 35 hanggang 42. Si Andrew ay isa sa dalawang nabanggit na disciple ni John the Baptist. Si Andrew talaga, yung originally, siya'y tagasunod ni John the Baptist. Nung hindi pa nakukulong si John the Baptist, at after niya i-baptize si Jesus Christ, yung dumadaan sa kanya si Jesus Christ, etong sinasabi niya, look! The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Yun ang laging sinasabi niya. Actually, he repeated it twice. And from there, na-intriga ito si Andrew, yung mangingisda. Pero sino kaya? Ito na kaya yun. And sinundan niya kasama yung unnamed na disciple. And sabi sa John chapter 1, verse 38 to 39, Rabbi, approaching Jesus Christ, Rabbi. Rabbi means teacher. Where are you staying? Jesus said to them, come and you will see. So they came and saw where he was living and they stayed with them that day. After po ng araw na iyon, agad-agad na pinuntahan ni Andrew yung kanyang kapatid na ang pangalan si Simon. Ay, Simon, natagpuan na namin ang Messiah, yung Savior, yung Christ, nandito na siya. We found in John 1:41. And sa verse 42, pinakilala ngayon si Jesus Christ kay Simon. And from there, face to face, kausap ni Jesus Christ si Simon. Ito sinabi ni Jesus Christ, from now on you will be called Cephas, which means Peter. That's why ang tawag sa kanya ngayon ay Simon Peter. So this was Peter. After noon, is lumipas yung panahon. So throughout that time, they have followed, heard Jesus preach, called out the Pharisees, performed signs in Judea. So Eventually, there was also already an immediate following sa Judean ministry ni Jesus Christ. So they know Jesus and Jesus knows them. Some theologians believe na puto lang yung pagfa-follow na yan nung nakuha na nadakit na si John the Baptist at bumalik sila sa pangingisda. So we're not sure kung yun ho yung nangyari, but there was a time na bumalik po sila sa kanilang normal life. Now, there was a question, ito yung common na katanungan na madalas kong madinig when they are encountering itong passage na ito, na ito ang question, ano, when was Peter converted? I know that's a little bit issue theologically. Kailan naging Christian ba talaga si Peter? And I did really, I tried my best to do a thorough study pagdating kung sino talaga, kailan si Peter naging Christian. So, and I found out, as I studied, this is what I got. Hindi ko alam. Yeah, sorry. Disappointed you. Inaral ko, I tried. Maybe limited resources, maybe limited knowledge, limited. But hindi ko alam. Well, here's what I got. Was it, was it John chapter 1 verse 42? When Peter was introduced to Jesus Christ? Yun ba yung time na kung saan nakakilala siya sa Panginoon? Was it during nung Judean ministry days ni Jesus Christ when he preached and performed signs as mentioned sa book of John 1 hanggang 4? Na naririnig lagi ni Peter yung sermon? Was it in Mark chapter 1 verse 15 when Jesus started preaching in Galilee yung repentance and faith in the gospel? Nandun si Jesus, si John nun? Was it in Luke chapter 5 after Peter witnessed yung miraculous catch ng fish that he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man"? Was it there? Was it in Matthew 16:16, Mark 8:29, when he confessed that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God? Yung ba yung time na yon? Or was it right after Jesus called him to become fishers of men? So verse 17. We don't know. I don't know. There are some suggestions. These are the suggestions. There were no clear references. But this is what we know. We know that Simon Peter did come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Naging Christian talaga siya. Niligtas ng Panginoon ang kanyang kaluluwa. Sure po tayo dyan. Bakit manasay, Pastor? Because he responded to Jesus' invitation to follow. We don't know if that is the exact time. We don't know it was previous. But one thing we do know, there was conversion. Friends, we must understand that before Jesus calls us to service, he first calls us to salvation. Let me say that again. Before Jesus calls us to service, sa ministry, he first calls us to salvation. That's the reason why we at Crossroads, before you serve sa kahit anong ministry ng church po na ito or formal ministry, we make sure that we can affirm that you are a Christian. And part of that is for us to know, na-affirm po namin if you are a Christian as you go through the process ng membership. We try to know your testimony. We try to know how the Lord came to save you. We try to know yung evidences of grace and changes sa buhay mo. And from there, we present it to the members. And if they affirm, then we welcome you as a family. Now, we see two different calls from the Lord dito. May dalawang klaseng calls tayo. Kasi alam ko na medyo nakakalito if you're part of that Bible study. What we do dito sa Crossroads, inaaral po namin yung passage before I preach. Okay? And probably some of you are saying, ano ba yung call dito? Parang dalawa ang nakikita kong ibig sabihin ng call. Well, you're right. We see two different calls dito, or at least two calls theologically na iisip ninyo. Two calls from the Lord, and both are initiated by God and not man. Just to make it sure. Make it clear. Yung mga calls na yon, yung mga tawag na yon, ay lahat gawa ng Panginoon at hindi ng mga tao. Unang-una, may tawag po sa kaligtasan. Or call to salvation. Yun ang unang tawag, call to salvation. God is the one who calls people to salvation. Hindi po tao. Hindi po tao ang nagliligtas sa kanyang sarili, sa kanyang eternal na kalagayan. He is the one, God is the one who does the choosing. It's God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. Babasahin ko po ang passage na ito. For us to see na ang Diyos po mismo ang nilalang na kung saan pumipili ng kanyang ililigtas. Ephesians 1, 13 to 14. Purihin ang Diyos at ang Ama ng ating Panginoon Hesukristo. Pinagkaloob niya tayo ng lahat ng pagpapalang espiritual na nagmumula sa langit dahil sa ating pakikipag-isa kay Kristo. Verse 4, bago pa likhain ang sanlibutan ay pinili na niya tayo upang maging kanyang pamamagitan upang maging sa kanya sa pamamagitan ng ating pakikipag-isa kay Kristo at upang tayo ay maging banal at walang kapintasan sa harap niya. Dahil sa pag-ibig ng Diyos, pinili niya tayo upang maging anak niya sa pamamagitan ni Hesukristo ayon sa kanyang layunin at kalooban. Ito po tinatawag na God's effectual call. God's effectual call to salvation. Ano ibig sabihin po noon? It means He chose people before the foundations of the world to be saved. At ang means or instrument that God uses to awaken yung hearts ng mga tao na ito is through the preaching of the gospel. Does that make sense? It is through the preaching of the gospel that one is awakened to salvation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. To this He called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, God is the seeker, hindi tayo. It is God. He is not the one who is lost. Tayo ang ligaw. Our fallen nature will never seek God. Our fallen nature wants to continue to wander. Our fallen nature will never choose God. Our fallen nature will continue with sin. We will always gravitate towards choosing a God we like. A God that is always in favor sa atin. We want a God who will grant all of our wishes. A God who always make you happy. That's the type of God that we want. Friends, the truth is, this God does not exist. That is what we call, according to Acts 17:29, that the God of your imagination. It's not the God of Scripture. If we're always going to church, trying to look for a God that who will be kind to you, who will always be, oh Lord, lahat ng prayer ko dapat, yes and amen. That is fiction. That is fiction. Yes, God is kind. Yes, God is loving. Yes, God is gracious, forgiving. But that's part ng Panginoon because His love and mercy and grace ay nagko-complement sa kanyang just and holiness. Sabi sa Romans chapter 3, verse 10 to 12, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. That is the condition of man. Why did God choose people for salvation? Bakit? Because God knows you will never choose Him. We will not be amazed by His grace. That's why Jesus said in John 6:44, no one can come to me, sabi ni Jesus, walang makakalapit sa akin, unless the Father who sent me draws him. I will raise him up on the last day. And I share this all the time. There is a big difference from the word can and may. Okay, from the language. No one can. Can is different from may. May is a word of permission. Ginagamit po natin yan. Ma'am, may I go out? May I borrow your pen? It is a word of permission. Pero yung ginamit na word dito is can. It is a word of ability. It is whether you can do it or not do it. So what Jesus is saying to John 6:44, no one has the ability to come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. God also knows that we are unable to save ourselves from our sins. That's why God sent his Son, Jesus, to die on the cross in our place for the forgiveness of our idolatrous, sinful hearts, and was raised to life on the third day, completely destroyed sin, Satan, and death. And anyone who responds to God's call of salvation, any one of you who are here, and have seen the sinfulness of your sin, here's the invitation. Here's the gospel call. Magsisi na po kayo sa inyong kasalanan. Talikuran na po natin at ilagay ang ating pananampalataya kay Kristo at ang ginawa niya sa krus para sa ating kaligtasan. As the English language would say, repent and put your faith in Christ's finished work on the cross. Is that you? Because probably Jesus is saying to you right now, follow me in the area of salvation. Huwag na tayo magmakatigas. Eh, totoo ako sa gatong klaseng religion. I'm not challenging your religion in you. I'm challenging what you believe about God. Because maybe the Jesus Christ you know is not the Jesus Christ of the Bible. And I tried to present in 5 minutes who the Jesus of the Bible is. And we can have conversations kung may questions po kayo after. Now, second, so that's the call to salvation. And second, there's a call to service. Call to service or call to service. Verse 17 of Mark chapter 1. Balik tayo sa Mark. 17. And Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. Verse 20, first part. And immediately he called them, see James and John. Jesus uses the fisher of men metaphor. He uses, it does make sense, kasi manging isda sila, as to convey the type of service he was calling Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John. It was a call to serve the king and serve with the king, King Jesus. This is not just na parang nandun si Jesus Christ, ah, manging isda. Ano kayo magandang pick-up line? Ah, mga manging isda. I will make you fishers of men. Ano, diba? Para ma-attract. Maybe. Pero it's a direct quotation of Jeremiah 16:16, which is yung binasa kanina ni Kuya Rex. However, nung binasa ni Kuya Rex kanina in Jeremiah 16:16, ang paggamit ng fishers of men doon at saka hunters ay nasa negative. Okay? And according kay Walvoord, sa kanyang commentary, he speaks something about this part. Sabi ni Walvoord, the prophets use this figure, which is si Jeremiah, the prophets use this figure to express divine judgment. Jesus, yung fishers of men, Jesus used it positively to indicate an advocate of divine avoidance of divine judgment. Kung yung mga prophets na yun, pag sinasabing fishers of men, sabihin, talagang kukunin namin kayo at paparusahan kayo ng Panginoon. Dito naman sinasabi Jesus Christ, kukunin natin sila para hindi sila maparusahan ng Diyos. So, ayun yung opposite na paggamit doon. The words, follow me, alam mo, I'm so happy that sa ginawang translation nito, no? I was trying to do the word study, and this is the Tagalog word I came up with, and I'm pretty much happy about this. The words follow me literally means sa Tagalog, pumunta ka sa likod ko at sundan at sundin mo ako. Literally, punta ka sa likod ko, sundan mo ako at sundin mo ako. And I was just like, oh wow, that was cool. Kasi very literal din siya sa mismo actual language niya. That's what it means to follow Jesus Christ, to follow Him and to be like Him. Yung mga rabbis noong time na yon is sila yung nilalapitan ng kanilang mga disciples. At nakikiusap, Rabbi, can we be your disciples? Si Jesus Christ po, hindi. Baliktad. Jesus took the initiative para lapitan sila at yayain sila para maging disciple niya. So the call that Jesus was extending to Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John was a call for discipleship. It was a call to be like Christ and a call to herald the good news of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. Well, I had a friend before. I'm still friends. Ikaw walang before. Yung kaibigan ko noon. So, parang naka-record to ba? Kasi, dati mo siyang kaibigan. Dati mo akong kaibigan ngayon. Hindi na. So, parang ganun. So, meron akong kaibigan, weightlifter. Malaki. And from there, like, Brad, if you know me, well, I think one person knows how I look like before dito. Or maybe dalawa, na kung gaano ako kapayat noon. As in, sobrang ting-ting. Okay, I saw some pictures at nahindikan ako no, sa itsura ko noon. So, and eto kong barkahan ako, laki talaga ng ano siya. It's like, Brad, turuan mo naman ako. Can I be your disciple? Teach me, Master. Binibiro ko siya, gano'n. O sige, walang problema. And from there, nagsimula kami. Binigyan. Yung una sa amin, pinakabuhati mo yan. Kasi naka-bench press, ano, nakika. Nasaan na yung mga bakal? Di, sige, yung bar lang ang buhatin mo, sabi sa akin. Yan ang unahin mo. And true to it, talaga mga 2 kilos, 3 kilos na nata yung bigat nun. So from there, medyo kaya. And from there, bigla na, daan-daan, marami siyang dinadagdag na kailangan kong gawin. From there, dinadagdagan yung mga bakal, yung mga stretching, yung pagkain, medyo-medyo, nagtaas na akong kilay, yung pagkain ko, meron siyang certain diet na kailangan kong gawin, pati yung tulog. And from there, ang dami niya pinagawa, and I feel na wala naman results, so I quit. Okay? Kasi I did not know yung cost ng aking papasukin. Hindi ko alam na ganito pala kahirap. Kung alam ko to noon, di sana hindi ko na ginawa. You know, it's the same sa pagiging disciple ni Christ. Not the same, let me use the word similar. It's similar sa pagiging disciple ni Christ. When we start to follow Christ, we must understand the cost of being a follower of Christ. All right? So, what is the cost of following Christ? Which is number 3 and less. 3 and less. The cost, verse 18 at saka 20. Ano ang nakalakip sa pagsunod natin kay Kristo? Being a fisherman, alam na alam ni Peter what it means to become a fisher of fish. Alam na alam po niya yun. It's hard work. It takes stamina, the ability to work with others, patience and sacrifice, dying to one's desires, kahit pagod na. And sometimes it also means physical death dahil sa mga bagyo na pwede niyang abutin sa karagatan. To get a catch, kailangan niya kong gawin yun. Being a fisherman sa mga fishermen na ito, being a fishers of men, let me go back. Being a fisherman sa mga mamang ito, it means sacrifice. Lifelong sacrifice kung magtutuloy sila. Verse 18, and immediately, and here's what they did, nung inalok sila ni Jesus Christ, immediately, which is yung favorite word ni Mark, they left their nets and followed him. Verse 20b. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with hired servants and followed him. Simon Peter and Andrew left their nets, which is their main source of income. It's their main source of living. O pangkabuhayan and business. James and John not only left their business, but also their loved one. Yung kanilang tatay. So pastor, teka muna, ang ibig sabihin po ba na ito, pastor, if tayo po ay magiging isang tapat na disciple ni Jesus Christ, dapat po iwanan na natin lahat ng halahat. So, lahat-lahat kailangan iwanan na. Yung ba sinasabi nyo, iwanan namin yung aming trabaho, iwanan namin ang pamilya, ang aming tirahan, ganun po ba yun, pastor? Kailangan bitawan lahat? Siguro. Pero ang sagot ko po dyan ay yes and no. Pero before we go to the answers ng yes and no, let's first look at the passage. Huh? When Jesus said, follow me, ito po ay isang imperative. An imperative means command. Hindi siya suggestion. Hindi siya, nga pala, Peter, tsaka, Andrew, kung may oras lang kayo, ha, follow me. Hindi po yun yung diskarte dito, eh. O nga pala, kung alam ko, medyo bago pa yung net mo, mahina naman siguro kung bibitahan mo ka ganyan. Pag medyo, sabi mo kung okay ka na, kung ready ka na. No, it is a command. Follow me. Follow me. Dr. Steve Lawson gave a story ng isang tanyag na kilalang-kilalang otoridad pagdating sa etiquette. Nung dumating itong mamang ito, na respetado at kilalang-kilala, ito ang tinanong sa kanya. How should one respond appropriately to an invitation to the White House? White House, we all know, doon mismo yung president ng United States. So yun yung kanyang lugar. So he asked that question. How should one respond appropriately to an invitation to the White House to dine with the president? So yun ang tanong sa kanya. The answer was, it was a straightforward answer binigay ng mamang ito. At ito ang sagot niya. A White House invitation is a direct command. Drop everything and go immediately. Wow. Kaya kapag nakatanggap ho kayo ng imbitasyon in your dreams sa White House, drop everything. It's a command. Or ng shake. Wow, grabe, that would be an honor. Ganito ang naging response ng mga mangingisdang ito. They understand the gravity of the command. Nadinig nila na ang imbitasyon sa Panginoon Hesukristo. They know it was a command. Hindi nila pinag-isipan. Hindi nila, teka, pag-pray muna natin kung susundin natin si Jesus. Nakarinig ka na ba noon? Teka, tawag tayo ng Panginoon. Teka, pag-pray muna natin kung gusto talaga ni Jesus. And you should do that, but if it's clear, black, and white, Jesus wants you to go, you go. However, it doesn't mean, alright, ting caveat, it doesn't mean na pinabayaan na nila ang kanilang pamilya at negosyo. Do you know that? Ni Peter, James, John, Andrew? We know na may asawa si Peter. For those of you who are unaware, Simon Peter ay may asawa. Okay? He has a wife. How do we know that? Because si Peter, there was a time, so Mark chapter 1, verse 29-31, inaaruga pa rin niya ang kanyang mother-in-law. Kaya nung nagkasakit ang kanyang mother-in-law, in-invite niya si Jesus Christ para pagalingin. So hindi niya technically pinabayaan. Okay? Si James and John, I think nakikita natin yung drama na binitawan ng kanyang mga lambat, iniwanan ng kanyang tatay, parang yun ang drama dito. Kasi immediately, kaya madalas yung salitang immediately kay Mark kasi he's a man of action. Immediately. Wala nang pawardi-wardi. Biglay na natin to. Immediately. Pero the truth is, here's the thing. Okay? Hindi nila pinabayaan yung tatay nila. Yung negosyo nila. That's why they have hired help. Have you ever noticed that, yung word na yun? Na when they left, pinagkatiwala nila. So following Christ, being a disciple of Christ, doesn't mean totally pabayaan ng pamilya. Don't care for them. Oh, I'm following Christ, bahala na magutom ang aking mga anak, kasi para kay Lord. Oh, I'm following Christ sa ministry, kahit buong araw ako sa church. Yan, church na yan, kasi gusto ko nandun si Lord. May bahala na ang Panginoon sa aking family. This is sacrifice. And from there, nagagalit yung mga pamilya mo. Ano ba yung church niyo? Naging kakompetensya tuloy ng asawa ang church. Naging kompetensya ng anak tuloy yung church. Eh kasi, we have this wrong understanding. I should be talagang devoting my time, yung rest day ko lahat. I mean, that's a great thing. Pero there's a problem din doon. It doesn't mean yung immediate ministry mo, pababayaan mo yung pamilya mo. It doesn't mean stop caring for them. It doesn't mean stop loving them. It sometimes, and I'm trying to use my words carefully here, it sometimes does not mean na iwanan mo ang inyong trabaho o negosyo. Sometimes. Jesus wants a full-time disciple. That's true. Jesus wants a full-time disciple na customer service officer. Jesus wants a full-time disciple ng mga bankers. Nagtatrabaho sa banko. Jesus wants a full-time disciple na nurses, businessman, businesswoman, full-time disciple na engineers and architects, full-time disciple in Jesus Christ na HR and managers and supervisors, helpers and drivers, housewives. Gusto niya full-time disciple without even necessarily leaving it. To be a follower, a disciple of Christ, means giving Jesus your full allegiance in everything. This means Jesus is God, not your career. Jesus is God, not your friends. Jesus is God, not your image or appearance. Jesus is God, not your children. Jesus is God, not money. Jesus is God, not your spouse. Jesus is God, not your ministry. Jesus is God, not your theology. Jesus is God, not your ability, and you can add more to that. Why? Kasi may tendency tayong sumamba sa ibang Diyos-Diyosan kahit alam natin nasa church tayo. Jesus wants full allegiance. Follow me. Friends, as a follower of our Master Jesus Christ, what are the things in your life that you need to let go? Let go. Are you involved in a wrong relationship? And you're trying to justify in your hearts na wala naman masama dito, okay naman kami. Are you doing something sinful, immoral in that relationship? Do you have to let go, friends, yung nagngingit-ngit, naggalit mo sa mahal mo sa buhay? Maybe kailangan mo ng patawarin. Maybe you need to let that go. Bitawan mo na yung taong sinaktan ka. When I say bitawan, hindi ko sinabing isnabin o tablay, patawarin mo, yun ang ibig sabihin, because Christ forgave you. Do you need to let go certain addictions sa life mo? Drugs? Addicted ka sa alcohol? Sigarilyo? Pornography? What are you addicted to right now? Na sinisira, nilalamon ang buhay mo. Sinusunog yung pera mo. Winawasak ang pamilya mo. Pinalalamig ang puso mo sa Panginoon. What do you need to let go? It will hurt. That's okay. That's the cost of following Christ. Kasi if you do it by yourself with your own might and energy and power, it's not going to happen. You need an external power, external force working in your life para mapaglabanan ito. When Christ say, follow me, it's a command. And if it's a command coming from the King of Kings, we obey. Listen, delayed obedience is disobedience. We know this, parents, kapag may inutos tayo sa mga anak, ngayon na, later. Di ba sinabi ko gawin nyo to? But I was busy. You know that's coming from a heart filled with rebellion and disobedience. Is that you sa Panginoon? Pastor, sige, isang-isa na lang. Alam mo naman yung heart ko eh. Oh yeah, God knows your heart, all right? And it's being rebellious. However, there are also times, ito yung ano ko, second caveat, there are also times that we must give up our careers, leave our homes, our relationships, leave convenience, leave our dreams, our ambitions, our plans. For what? Why? For gospel purposes. There's a time na kailangan natin bitawan yan. This could also mean being rejected, persecuted, ridiculed, being wronged. Your health might suffer. Your loved ones might abandon you. You might die for the sake of the call. There are times that you need to let go and pursue kung sa katinatawag ng Panginoon. No, teka, pastor, parang nakakatakot yan. I think that deserves a longer conversation. Yes. That's why I encourage you, if God is calling you to full-time ministry, if God is calling you to a place na kung saan wala yung gospel, if God is calling you to be a church planter, we talk about it, we pray about it. This demands a longer conversation. Please call me. There was, you know, if this is you, this demands prayer and discernment. If you continue to follow God, you will feel in persecution and rejection. Because you will feel the more you follow Christ, the more you will become Christ-like. Yung nararamdaman ni Christ, yung gusto ni Christ, nagiging gusto mo na. Yung mga ayaw ni Christ, nagiging ayaw mo na. And you know what? Sa harapan ng mundo, mukha ka ng alien. And that's true. Napakabait mo naman. Ito na naman si Holy Holy, oh. Si Alive Alive. Anong Alive Alive? Alain yun, si Alive Alive yun, eh. Why, you will look so different and you will be ridiculed and laughed at. You know what? There was also a person who left his heavenly home and came to ours. He took a form of an ordinary man, grew up in an ordinary family, lived an ordinary life. Until the fullness of time came, he started doing the extraordinary. What is the extraordinary? He preached an extraordinary sermon. He extraordinarily healed people. But with all of what he has done, he was rejected by the very people he came to save. He was ridiculed, rejected, and abandoned by men who he called his friends. The people who glorified him are the same people who are shouting, "Crucify him." Jesus is that man. Jesus, for the sake of the Father's call, obeyed. For the sake of the many people's redemption, died on the cross so that you might live. Jesus, who was risen on the third day, now calls us to die to ourselves and carry your cross. Mga kaibigan, much has been said. Meditate on this. Because to be a disciple of Jesus is to forsake all for the sake of the call.